Welcome to the South Elkhorn Christian Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the weekly messages. For bulletin material, reflection guides, and other resources, visit southelkhorncc.org.
Well, I'd like to give it a try too. Mr. Whiteboard. Doesn't work. Also, the whiteboard uttered to me as the whiteboard made the whiteboard's way off stage, "My shoulders are on fire." You have such amazing volunteers, Pastor Holly. Well, as we prepare to enter into our scripture passage this morning, I'm going to invite you to do something that Pastor Holly and I kind of struggled this week to try and sink our spiritual teeth into this passage of scripture and find something that really just brought us to life, inspired us. There's so much incredible stuff in this passage, and yet we're struggling to find a focus, a point of entry into the text until finally it hit us. The keys. So if you have keys this morning in your pocket, in your purse, in your bags, I'm going to invite you to dig them out and to hold on to them. Perhaps let the folks sitting next to you who you trust to hold on to them with you, and to hold on to them as a tangible reminder of what perhaps this passage of Scripture is about. It's about many things, but perhaps if you take nothing else away from this Scripture this morning, I want to encourage you to remember that you have the keys, So let's hold on to these keys as we're able and follow along in Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter. We're going to be starting in verse 13, reading through verse 20. Let's share this passage of Scripture together. Follow along with your hearts and your minds as I read. "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Well, some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah,' or the Christ, 'the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, or you are the rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.' Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah." The word of God for the people of God. Well, if you got your keys this morning, let me hear them. All right. Now, if you know me, if this is your first time here, you're going to get to know me. If you know me, we all know that it's kind of silly that I'm the one telling you not to forget your keys. I'm the one reminding you that you have keys. If you've known me for, 15 seconds, chances are I've probably lost my keys in the time that we've been talking. I am notorious for losing my keys, and I just want to say proudly and share with you the good news that this week, I didn't lose my keys. Thank you. Now, it helps that I have not one but two GPS locators on this key ring. I know where to find them when I have misplaced them. It does help that I've developed some habits around keeping track of my stuff. I've got a key holder in my office that I put these on. I've got a place in my home where I place my keys, so I don't have to think about where they are. I just know where to go. But from time to time, perhaps I place them someplace I can't quite recall, and these handy little apps tell me just where they are. I love it until I forget to change out the battery. But we'll talk about that later. Importantly, though I didn't lose my keys this morning, I did perhaps lose something that I'll talk more about later in the sermon. It's inevitable for me to lose my keys, or to lose something. And yet, here I am saying, don't forget, you, me, we have the keys. You and I, we have the keys. The keys to what? The keys to the kingdom of heaven. Don't forget that you have the keys. If you remember nothing else from the sermon this Sunday, I want you to know that you have the keys. And it's good news that someone like me can stand on stage, someone who's notorious for losing their keys. It's good news that who Jesus gives the keys to is Peter. Because if there's any disciple who's likely to lose the keys, it's Peter. Peter's the disciple who consistently messes up. He's the one who falls asleep in the garden. He's the one who denies Jesus. He's the one that just after this passage of scripture, where he confesses to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God," where he says all the right words. Then Jesus goes on to teach about how the Messiah, the Christ, will have to suffer for the sake of love. And Peter's like, "No, you won't. That's not how it works." And Jesus says, not, "You're wrong, Peter." He says, "Get behind me, Satan." This is the guy who Jesus has given the keys to the kingdom of heaven to. So as someone who loses his keys often, I feel like I'm in good company with Peter, sharing with you the good news that we have the keys. And the adventure of faith maybe is learning to remember that we have the keys. Peter is called Peter, but quite literally is called the Rock. In this passage of scripture, he's meant to symbolize the community of faith as this preeminent disciple in this moment. And he's meant to symbolize the fact that these keys that are handed on to Peter are handed on to the generations that would come. Peter and the early disciples are this first generation of Jesus followers who become the foundation on which Christ builds the church. Yes, Peter's the rock, but Peter doesn't build the church. Christ builds the church on the witness, testimony, learning, and growth of this disciple who consistently doesn't get it right. So this morning, if you're not feeling like you've got faith all figured out, if you're not feeling like you're always the perfect disciple or the perfect Christian or the perfect person, I want you to know this morning that Christ handed on the keys to the kingdom of heaven to Peter. To Peter. And through Peter, despite our imperfections and our struggles and our challenges and our setbacks and our mistakes, those keys are handed on to us. So what are the keys? What are these keys that we have that are entrusted to our care, entrusted to our use? Before we get to that, I do want to pause for a moment because there's this beautiful thing that happens at the beginning of this passage of scripture that we read that I think is relevant to this idea of the keys. And it's relevant because it has to do with Jesus presenting himself as a question. He poses a question to his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And then makes it personal. "Yeah, but who do you say that I am?" I love that Jesus makes himself into a question. I love that perhaps you've heard it said that Jesus is the answer. I love that in Scripture we see that Jesus is the question. Because even Peter, who gives an answer to this question, doesn't fully understand the scope of what he is saying. Because the truth is, each of us, over the course of a lifetime, are going to learn to answer that question in different ways and come to understand the meaning of answering that question in different ways. And what matters for the adventure of faith is committing not to the answer, but to the question. To learning and to growing and to discovering what it means to answer the question, "Who do you say that I am?" Indeed, scientific fields of inquiry, biology, zoology, physics, ethics, all of these areas of inquiry are defined not so much by one particular theory at one point in time, but by returning to some fundamental questions over and over and over again. I would say, if you want to know who you are, what are the questions that you've never stopped asking about yourself, about life, about what it means to love and to live? The questions are, I think, what come to define us. And Jesus makes himself the question for this first generation of disciples, and through them, for each and every one of us. Who do you say that I am? I think in a world where so many Christians and so many people are divided by answers we give to questions, it's good news to hear that Jesus makes himself the question, where people of different understandings of what it means to follow in the way of Christ, to follow in the way of Jesus, can come together to learn from each other by asking common questions. That is beautiful and good news, and I hope you sense that this morning. That we as the Christian Church Disciples of Christ are not defined by the dogmas or doctrines that might be answers to that question, but by making Christ the question at the heart of our faith. What does it mean to live in the way of Christ? Who do we, by what we say and do, together and individually, who do we say that he is? Christ makes himself the question. And then he has this enigmatic saying. You know, we're going to build the church on you, the rock. And you have the keys to the kingdom of heaven to bind and to loose. What is going on here? Well, you have to know in the first century, this idea of the keys was a metaphor for teaching. And the idea of binding and loosing, that was language that was talked about with rabbis whose chief job was to interpret the teaching of God. And if we pay attention in Matthew's gospel, we see that this idea of Jesus as a teacher, this idea of the teaching of God, is really, really important within the scope of Jesus' ministry. In fact, one of the most famous parts of the Gospel of Matthew is the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus instructs, teaches his disciples and all those who are listening in, where Jesus says these beautiful words, "You have heard that it was said, but I say unto you." Jesus is taking the inherited tradition and wisdom and reinterpreting it for their context and their time and their place. What are the keys that we have? The teaching of God that we are invited to interpret for our time and our place. And we do so knowing that we won't always get it right and that we won't always be perfect, that even if we say the right words, we may not even understand the fullness of what we mean. And yet, the keys have been handed on to us to teach. To teach the wisdom and way of God as we discover in Christ Jesus. That every human person has dignity and worth. That instead of rejecting, we are called to redeem. That instead of hurting, we are called to heal. That we are called to forgive often and to love big and to love inclusively and to love boldly. We are called to be the people of God. And if you're worried about saying the right thing and having the right doctrine down, know that teaching comes in many forms. And perhaps the most important and powerful way we can teach is by our example. By our humility, by our vulnerability, and by our learning. And Christ has given us, through Peter, from generation to generation, the keys to unlock the kingdom of heaven, to help people see and discover the goodness and depth and breadth of God's unconditional, life-changing, world-mending love. Christ has given that to the church and says, it's yours. Live it out. Teach people by what you say and what you do, what it means to follow in the way of God. I love this passage of Scripture because I need the reminder that even when I'm not aware of it, not realizing it, I am always teaching. That's become increasingly obvious to me as a parent. My kids are always watching, always learning. But Dad, you did, oh yeah, you're right. Do as I say, not as I do. But that's true of more than just parenthood. That's true of life. People are watching. People are listening. People are learning. If we commit ourselves to the person of Jesus as a question, who do you say that I am? People are paying attention to the ways we live our lives, both as individuals and as a community of faith. We are teaching. We are interpreting the story of God and the meaning of our faith in our time and our place. And here's the beautiful thing. As we struggle to do that faithfully, we unlock the kingdom of heaven right here, right now. I mean, Jesus would say this time and time again, the kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of God is right here all around you. Open your eyes. Listen, it's right here. And Jesus is saying, and you, church, can help people see it by how you interpret the scriptures and who I am in real time, in real places, with real people. You have the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom in your pocket. Don't forget. Don't forget. Now, I want to be clear here because it's become the subject of, you know, cheesy, chuckle-worthy cartoons that, you know, you've got the figure of Peter, St. Peter at the pearly gates, standing there as who knows what person is coming up for a joke-like moment about getting into heaven or not getting into heaven. The keys of the kingdom are seen as this thing which opens up the door for some people and closes the door and locks it out for others. That is not what's going on here. If anything, if our way of imagining gates on the heavenly kingdom, on the heavenly realm, is that Jesus in his life, in his ministry, has unlocked the gates and left it ajar. We don't need St. Peter to lock anyone out or let anyone in. That's not what these keys are all about. They're not about a heavenly other realm. They are about a heavenly this realm, about unlocking the meaning of God's love right here and right now. And those keys are in our possession. If we would but notice, take them out, and use them. Everything we do, everything we say is teaching. What are we saying? What are we teaching? Well, I mentioned this week that I didn't lose my keys. Hip, 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 hooray for me. But I did lose my license. Because you can't attach a tile or a air tag to that very easily, though I'm probably going to try now. I managed, I had some car issues, and so I had to take the car to the dealership and thought, well, you know, I'm a busy single parent, so I'm going to, you know, try to make my exercise dropping off the car, so I'm going to jog home from the car dealership. So I had my license and my credit card and my cell phone in my fanny pack. Yes, I'm a child of the 90s. I can rock a fanny pack and lose my license out of my fanny pack. So I needed to go to the DMV this weekend and get a license so I could be legal to drive. And so I show up bright and early with my kiddos in tow because we're not going to spend forever on a busy Saturday. We got lots to do. We got gymnastics and we've got swim lessons and we're going to go to the DMV. We're going to get in there early because you can get in and out of the DMV early. It's like, what? So much to learn. So we get there early. We get into the DMV, and within a minute of sitting down, we're like 20th in line. In a minute of sitting down, the person who is welcoming us, greeting us, writing our names, stands up and says, unfortunately, I've got bad news for this one Saturday a month when we take walk-ins. The entire statewide system is down. So it's going to be a minute. If you want to wait, you can. If not, know that we take, you know, appointments throughout the week, and you can do so. But if you want to stick it out and wait out, see if it comes back up, who wants a sucker? So I'm sitting there, and my kiddos are doing a pretty good job behaving themselves, but they're kiddos, and it's constant management, constant work. The people there are kind of beginning to talk and chat with each other, and after an hour or so, we finally hear one of the people who's behind the desk. They had it queued up just for this moment. The Hallelujah chorus came on. Hallelujah. And we're all cheering and yelling. And they're like, oh, actually, we're wrong. It didn't work. So after 2 hours, they finally said, I think we got a workaround and a fix. But here's the deal. We're only going to be able to take cash or check. And this dad brought snacks, but no cash or check. And in the last 15 minutes before they made that announcement, my youngest started not acting himself, and he was super clingy and super whiny, and I'm just holding on to him, got my hand on his head, and that head is starting to get super hot. And I'm like, are we getting a fever in real time at the DMV? This is probably not the branding they're going for. And the guy next to me leans over when they make this announcement and says, hey, I heard that big sigh, and I'm suspecting you don't have cash or check. I'm going to run to the ATM. Can I bring you the money you need? He's like, you can just Venmo me. Do you have Venmo? I was like, I got Venmo. He's like, yeah, no problem. How much do you need? I go, well, I actually need to find out. So I went and I asked, and I told him. And he said, I'm going to run, and I'm going to come back. You're ahead of me in line, so I should be able to get you that before you get called. Indeed, I'm sitting there with my kiddos. My son's head is getting hotter and hotter, and I already know we're going to have to cancel gymnastics and swim lessons and head right to urgent care for getting tested. How could this day get any worse? And this guy comes back, and he hands me the money, and he says, God bless you, pay it forward. The keys to the kingdom of heaven are right here. They were entrusted to Peter long ago, and they are entrusted to the church today. In small and big and beautiful ways. To pay attention wherever there is suffering and conflict and challenge, and bring healing instead of hurting. Bring redemption instead of rejection. Affirm the dignity and worth of every child of God. And inspire people with even the simplest act of love. Who do you say that I am?
Thanks for listening to the message this week. Visit southelkhorncc.org, where you can download reflection and discussion guides to dig deeper into the weekly scripture and message.